الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على العباد الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا قوا انفسكم واهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجاره عليها ملائكه غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما امرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اذا مات الانسان انقطع عنه عمله الا من ثلاث صدقه جاريه او علم ينتفع به او ولد صالح يدعو له وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر بن ابي سلمه رضي الله عنه يا غلام سم الله وقل بيمينك وكل مما يليك وقال ابن عمر ادب ابنك فانك مسؤول عن ولدك ماذا ادبته وماذا علمته وقد قيل العلم في الصغر كالنقش على الحجر وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, from among the great ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us after iman in the deen of Islam are those children and awlad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Those people who do not have children, they know the real value of children, how they yearn, pine for children, do everything possible, du'as in the morning, in the evening, the du'as in safar and hadar, du'as when they come into gatherings of deen, when they meet people of deen, make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us awlad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us children. And verily this is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to whomsoever He wants sons and to whomsoever He wants daughters, and He gives both to whomsoever He wants, and He makes whomsoever He wants barren. This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows best. However, to yearn for children is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in human being, and we find even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had made du'as in the Quran for children and for pious offsprings. This is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with every ni'mat comes a responsibility, and we find duties and responsibilities with every ni'mat. Especially with the ni'mat of children, there are great responsibilities. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us this amanat of children, then together with that comes responsibilities, duties and obligations towards that child. There are things that we ought to do. And there are so many obligations and duties towards the child, many of which are known to us by virtue of our relationship and love and affection for the child. We know that we have to provide for the child, see to the comfort of the child as far as his living is concerned, and as far as his eating and drinking is concerned, as far as his basic needs of clothing, etc. are concerned. But there is a greater responsibility, much more greater than that, which is emphasized in the Sharia from the very inception right up to the end, and that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Infuse the deen, imbibe into him the characteristics of deen. There is also a responsibility upon the father and the parents that they see that the child has a deen in disposition. And for this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the teachings of Islam, has made it so simple from the very beginning right up to the end. The tariqah of Islam is so simple that for a person to be pious or for a child to be pious is absolutely certain, easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that there's hardly any great effort that we have to do. Firstly, we find that when the child is born, the Islamic teaching tells us that the azan and iqamat has to be given. This is now, in those tiny years, we are mentioned the words of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the small little tiny ears, they may not be able to even understand this. But in fact, to affect him with the Islamic spirit and Islamic teachings and the tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this method. The first sounds that go into the little ears is the sounds of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we find that tahleek is made, where some pious person chews upon something sweet, etc., and that is put into the mouth of the child. Otherwise, the first thing that goes down the throat of the child is something that is from a pious person, so that the person can be affected by the personality of the child, and this person could be orientated towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we find other teachings, even before the mother gives birth, that after she conceived the child, then she should not carry out such actions that have an adverse effect on the child in the form of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she should show true obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that also will affect the personality of this little child. And together with that, this is from the outside, together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the potential of the Islamic teachings and Islamic deen, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every single child that comes into this earth. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child that comes onto the face of the earth, he is born upon the natural disposition of Islam. Other words, he has the potential of accepting the teachings of Islam. Other words, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are directed towards him, he would readily and easily accept it. Why? Because his disposition, his temperament is created in that manner. Every child is created in that manner. It is the parents, the role of the parents, that make him a Yahudi or make him a Nasrani or make him a fire worshipper. But as far as the potential of the child is concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here that every single child, whether he is born in a Muslim home or whether he is born in a non-Muslim home, has the potential of Islam. So when he has the potential of Islam already, of accepting the Islamic teachings, then this very fact encourages us now to bring him towards Islamic teachings from inception. From that time, we should ensure that nothing Islam and un-Islamic is done and directed towards the child, whether it is eating and drinking, whether it is Islamic character, whether it is dressing. Everything must conform to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we find that in the house of the pious, or the people that were pious, from inception we find that the parents had directed them onto this path of righteousness and piety and the deen of Allah, and we find they became great saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the contrary, what we find, that people say, no, he is still a little boy, he is still small, leave him. Now is the time for him not to do anything. And what happens? That little boy or that little child goes onto the wrong direction. And then he goes, he becomes firmer and firmer and firmer and stronger till the day comes, Allah save us. It becomes difficult for the parent now to change the direction of the child, to change the mindset of the child, to change the child towards Islamic teachings, etc., becomes extremely difficult. Some mashayikh have mentioned this is like the roots of a tree. When those roots and the tree comes out and it is small, then it's very easy to curve it or turn it in any direction. But once it grows up into a large, mighty tree, then it's difficult for it. Even for you to shake the branches is difficult. Forget turning the direction of the tree. So similarly here, it's our duty to ensure, together with providing for the child in all the physical needs and other needs, etc., to ensure that the deeni mahal is given to the child from inception. That is why it's mentioned that the best madrasa is the house, or the best thing a person can give, a parent can give to his children, is good manners. Good manners and Islamic morals, etc., which is taught in the confines of the home. The first madrasa of the child is the house. And that's where the child becomes affected with the mahal around it. When he sees the Islamic teachings of haya, of shame, etc., of modesty, similarly of piety, and of taharat cleanliness, and adab and respect, etc. When he sees that in the home, the child is affected by that. So many times you go into a home, you find the mother is reading the salat, and the little child there is facing the wrong direction, also imitating her. Why? He is affected by the environment of the home. So if the environment of the home is conducive to Islamic teachings, the child understands what Islam is, and he begins to realize what Islam is, and consciously and unconsciously, intentionally and unintentionally, the child begins to follow the cause of Islam and becomes easy for him. So this is the first duty, to create an environment in the homes that is Islamic. This is the duty of every parent. If you want the child, if you want our children to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to be role models in the home and show them in the home what is piety, what is taharat, what is paki, what is shame, what is respect, etc., and other traits of good character must be displayed in the home through which the child is affected, and we find it has an effect on his personality and he becomes deeni inclined. The second duty is to see that that child, when he leaves the home, when he reaches an age now where he has to leave the home, then he has to seek Islamic education to ensure that he gets good Islamic education. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled the graves of our forefathers who had migrated to this country. And there's two things that basically they had established in every nook and corner of this country. One is the masajid. Wherever you go, you will find the masjid that were put up here. And the second thing were the madaris, and that is the maktab and the primary madrasa education. We find they had established in every nook and corner of this country when they had come in. And the benefit of that was this, that when that little child grew up and had to leave the home and go to get his other secular education, side by side he had gone for the Islamic education as well, which is the actual prime object to come into this dunya, to know the rights, to know how to behave like a mu'min and to follow Islam. This is actually our prime duty, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize him, fulfill the rights of Allah and fulfill the rights of the people around us. And that can only be done through education and through ta'aleem. And we find that, remember those days where every single child who came out of the home, they used to come and register in the school together with that in the madrasa. There was hardly a child in the area who would not attend the primary madrasa in the maktab. Why? Because the parent knew The importance of Islamic education, that my child must know ABC, he must know 1, 2, 3. Together with that, he must know how to cleanse himself. He must know what is the rights of the parents. He must know the rights of the people around him. He must know how to live like a Muslim and how to pass away like a Muslim. This was engraved in the hearts and minds of the parents, and every single child used to come to the madrasa and the maktab. Now a person thinks sometime, what is taught there in the maktab? Very simple place there. Alif Ba Ta is taught there, the Quran may be taught there, a few surahs are taught there, etc., a few Islamic etiquettes are taught there. No, this is a complete culture of Islam that is taught there. Firstly, the environments of the makatib are such that they are more conducive to Islamic teachings than the school environments. So firstly, when a child comes into such an environment, he can actually sense that he is in an Islamic environment. Why? Because the environment of such, there's simplicity in the environment, there's proper Islamic dressing in that environment, adab is taught to the environment, in that environment, respect for the teacher and for the apa, etc. is taught, respect for the kitabs are taught, respect for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are taught, and respect for deen is taught. With the result, we find that Islam, the importance of Islam, is engraved in the child's mind and in his heart. And teaching from a young age, like is the same famous saying in Arabic, al-ilmu fi sighar kal-naqshi al-hajar, is like engraving something on a stone. When something is engraved in stone, what happens? That remains. Similarly, when we find that Islamic teachings are engraved in the heart and mind of the child at that age, we find that helps him throughout his life, and it makes it easy for him to remain an Islam Muslim person. Wherever, whatever environment he goes in, he's conscious of his Islamic identity. And if you look in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also you find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith teaches Hazrat Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhu, who was the foster son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a little boy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "Ya ghulam, O little boy, sammillah, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kul bi yaminik, and eat with your right hand, wa kul mimma yaliq, and eat from those things, that food that is before you and in front of you." The Sahabi Hazrat Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhu mentions that this became my constant habit throughout my life. Throughout my life, I used to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I eat. I used to eat with my right hand, and I used to eat from that which is nearby. So with so much afsos and regret, we see sometimes even today elderly people don't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't eat with the right hand, and don't eat from that. A simple basic sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught a little boy. Yet in another hadith we find as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and tells him, "Ihfazillah yahfazuka," lengthy hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him the basic aqaid of Islam, the basic characteristics of a Muslim, that safeguard the orders of Allah, Allah will safeguard you. Look after the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find the assistance of Allah before you. And similarly, the lengthy hadith, a little boy, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is training him and teaching him from this age. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu mentions that teach your son good manners. Why? فَإِنَّكَ مَسْؤُولٌ أَنْ وَلَدِكَ. You will be questioned regarding children. مَاذَا أَدَّبْتَهُ وَمَاذَا عَلَّمْتَهُ. What you have taught him and how you have nurtured him, and on what culture did you bring him up, and what Islamic etiquettes did you teach your child. So these are great responsibilities in our parents, and alhamdulillah, we have the system even functional today in many parts of the world. Through the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many such countries that did not have the system are implementing the system because of the effect of the system, that when basic at that age, when little children are taught, then what happens is it engraves in their hearts and minds, and becomes easy for them to remain Islamic. The Islamic personalities can be maintained in whatever circumstances they go throughout their life. Here also, alhamdulillah, I find large number of parents, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them jazaa khair, are conscious of this duty and bring their children to the makatib. But what is now becoming very ironic is this, that when the real time comes for the child, the child is faced with the challenges around him, and we all know the environment that we live in, the un-Islamic environment or anti-Islamic environment that we live in, and we know the cultures that we're mixing with, the people that we mix with, we know their cultures, how anti-Islamic they are. We find that when the child needs Islamic teaching most, that's when he's taken out of the madrasa. Why? The parent feels the school is very important. He has to do his homework, he has to do his projects, he has to do this. And here, I bear witness that in many cases, we find children that attend our makatib, when they leave the maktabs, they're not even seen in a masajid. They're not even seen in a masajid. Very rarely we see them in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would not like to go into different, very long statistics. I'll tell you about one particular boy who belonged to a very good family. He left the maktab to go to prematurely to become a hafiz. And thereafter, after a few months, he left the hifz class. One Musalli tells me, Mona, I see him sitting here and sipping away the alcohol openly here a few meters away from where we are sitting. What is this? The environment, the bad environment that we are around. Little do we realize, we take the children out here on flimsy pretexts, but not knowing where they are heading to. Last night, the Moana was here at our masjid, Allah Dalakim Jazai Khair. He recited a few instances where the child was told, it was insisted upon the parent, that leave your child in the madrasa. The parent insisted, no, I have to take my child out of the madrasa. The roles are now reserved, are now reversed. The role of the parent should be to guide the child, explain to the child. I normally tell the parents, bring the child forth here. Let me ask the child a few basic questions in front of you. If he can answer and you feel he has sufficient knowledge, well and good, let him leave the madrasa. They're not even prepared to do that. No, my child says he can't do this. My child says he can't do this. One of my grandchild says, I wish there was no school. So why are we going to follow what our children say? We have to guide the children as parents to see that they learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they remain there. He mentioned that very parent called me, that Moana mentioned last night, that very parent called me and says, there's this child here, the clothing that I provided for him is worth 2,000 rands, just the clothing that he has, but he is now soaked in drugs from the morning till the evening. That Moana is mentioning yesterday, I began to recall those days when I insisted on this parent, please ensure that your son comes to the madrasa, but they insisted he will not come to the madrasa. This is the consequences, and now I am called again. So we should not be so gullible and so naive that my child says this and my child says that. He is the child. You are the father. You ought to guide him. You ought to show him. You ought to ask him. In fact, I phoned one parent today about 2,000 kilometers away. He said, Mona, don't worry. I've told my son, as long as you are here, and as long as you're even in high school, you ensure that you go to the madrasa and you learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only for those elderly children, but even for us elders. We have to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our duty. This is our duty to teach the deen to ourselves and to teach it to our wives and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the hadith, it mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum, this ayah that we hear so regularly, O you who believe, save yourselves and save your families from a fire, the fuel of which is man and stones. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his kindness and compassion, forewarns us to save yourself from such a fire. It's so intense that the fuel of that fire is not wood, etc. The fuel of that fire is stones and it is human beings. And upon it are angels that are appointed upon it that are stern and severe. They are not disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, there's no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us if a person lands into that fire that by virtue of his strength or might or power or flattering or bribery, he can get away from there. These angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very stern and very severe and they will implement the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, as far as saving ourselves from the fire of Jahannam is concerned, we understand that. That is that we save ourselves from the disobedience of Allah and we fulfill the divine injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we save our children? How do we save our children? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must instruct them to refrain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and command them also and encourage them also to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, they will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. If we do not have knowledge of the orders of Allah and they do not have knowledge of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will find what we find today, that the parents are shielding the children. Comes to Salat, for example, my child must sleep. Why? Because he has to go to school. He cannot get up 4 o'clock in the morning and read the Fajr Salat. No, he cannot do that. The parent is unaware of the consequences of missing the Salat. So he is now shielding the son. In fact, he's supposed to be the person to encourage his children in the light of this Quran. The light of this verse of the Quran, the commentators mention, is the bounden duty of every parent to ensure that he teaches his wife and his children the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he diligently instructs them to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is in store for them? Who is there that wants to see his children with him only here while he lives in Spingo Beach in his mansion in his home and does not wish to see his children with him in paradise? There won't be one parent in the world who does not have that amount of goodwill and welfare and love and kindness for his child that does not want to see him in paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, also in this place, there's an hadith mentioned here, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua that may Allah have mercy on that person who says, Oh my wife and my children, your prayers, your fasting, your alms, your indigent, your orphan, and your neighbor. What is meant here? May Allah have mercy on that person that keeps on instructing his wife and his children, reminds them about his prayers, carry out your fasting, give your alms, and be concerned about the poor person, yatimakum wa miskinakum, that orphan of yours, look after him, and also that neighbor, fulfill the rights. He keeps on emphasizing this on his wife and children. Rasulullah says, may Allah have mercy on that person. May Allah have mercy on that person. And together with that is mentioned here in this hadith, it is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join him with his family in paradise. If this is his concern throughout his life, he teaches him the deen of Allah. That is why the duty of our children does not finish only when they are by high school, as far as the deen is concerned, right to the day we leave this dunya. That is why we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites the example of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that when they gathered the children and told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed you to be Muslim. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not leave this dunya till you are in a state that you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not have the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't expose our children to those environments of deen, then how do we expect the child to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we expect him to remain? And not only that, this will be a great asset for the child also in this dunya and the akhirat. And our greatest assets also in this dunya is what? When you have an obedient child. When the child is obedient to you, how many parents there are today come to the ulama kiram and tell them that I wish my son was not living. He has gone on to drugs, he has gone on to this, he has gone on to that. Why? In many cases we find the parent has been negligent as far as the upbringing of the child is concerned. Everything was given to him to become a delinquent. Now when he turns the wrong path, the regret is on the heart and minds of the children. No, it is our duty as parents to try our utmost best to convince our children, to love them and to teach them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quite incidentally, I just last week went to a certain place. I was talking to that son and the mother of that son, just to tell you how exemplary a person's character can be when he becomes when the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into him. That woman tells my wife that there may be some deficiency in a diamond, but in my son there's no deficiency. And I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join him with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in paradise. We know the incident where Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, who will be the person that will be my companion in paradise? So shown to him a certain butcher. He went there and he found nothing extraordinary, but that butcher is to go home. Firstly, he used to go to one place. There was an elderly lady there. Should bring her out, fulfill her needs, feed her, etc. And that woman used to say some words. He asked, what is the woman saying? What is this lady saying? He said to Musa alayhi salam, she is telling me that may Allah make you the companion of Musa alayhi salam in paradise. Today, in this age and era, when there's respect, when there's good akhlaq, when there's deen, when there's good tarbiyat, then the mother makes dua, oh Allah, let my son be companion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. On one side, you find the mother is cursing the child. I wish I had never given birth to him. Why he's not brought up properly? And on the other hand, we find if the proper tarbiyat is given to the child, then she's making dua, that may he be the companion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, Rasulullah tells us that the amount of our greatest assets are what? That when a person passes away, all his actions cease, except for three things. One is that charity that is recurring, the reward of which is recurring. Secondly, is that education, that knowledge that is given and imparted to somebody. And thirdly, is waladin salihin yad'u lahu, that the child that he will praise for him when he leaves this dunya, he will get the reward in the grave. He will get the reward on the day of judgment when it's told to him, this is the stage for you. He will ask, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how am I granted this? Said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, your son used to implore me, to ask me and invoke me to forgive you. In lieu of his du'as, I have given you this great status. So this is a very important, very, very important responsibility on our shoulders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the realization. We have the opportunities. There are such areas in the face of the earth where there are no ulama kiram, where there are no madaris. There are centers overseas where there's only madrasa for 2 days, for 1 or 2 hours. Why? The people stay very far away. Here at our doorsteps, we have centers of learning. The Darul Uloom is there. The masjid is there where ta'lim takes place morning and evening. We find the makatibs are there. Wherever we can put ourselves together with our children, we should make hay while the sun shines. Let not be that day come when we don't have the institutions amongst us and there are restrictions as far as imparting the knowledge of deen is concerned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of the guidance and tawfiq to fulfill all our responsibilities towards our wife and children and towards the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.